time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Did you know that your brain really only has two modes of functioning? It either can function on fear, or it can function on love and appreciation. Those are the only two modes that run in your brain. And guess which one is more about thriving? Yep, love and appreciation. This is Lee Bockham welcoming you to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast where we come back every week to talk about how you can thrive no matter what life throws your way. I'm a full-time thriveologist, which means I'm constantly studying how people thrive and how they grow through life, how they find better ways, bigger paths, more purpose in their life, how life opens up for them. But I'm only a part-time thriver, which means that I am also learning this process. I'm walking through, and part of the reason that I am so in love with studying thriving is so that I can bring more of that into my life, and hopefully it brings some into your life. Right now, we're in a study of 15 different things that help people to thrive more. There are 15 things that thrivers do differently, and that's why they thrive more. And today, we're talking about gratitude and appreciation, not as the abstract, but how to apply it to your life so that you live more in that place. As I said, brains only really do have those two places, those two modes. And on automatic, our brain tends to go to those more primitive neuronal pathways about fear, because that keeps us safe. At least it used to keep us safe. Way back when, it used to keep us safe when life was really a risk. But now life is not so much a risk, and yet we're still caught in that place of fear. You see, fear is about scarcity, about danger, about threat. While love and appreciation is more about abundance and the higher pieces, the ways we connect with that world around us and the ways that we know that there's enough. And so when we're on kind of automatic pilot, we go to that fearful scarcity place, but we can step above that. We can find a way of stepping into abundance, of stepping into an appreciation, and really of stepping into a way of looking at gratitude in our own lives. And it's really a choice. If you do it automatically, you're going to go to fear. But if you take that back, you can begin to move more and more towards that abundance, that recognition of this mindset that there is enough. I recently had a very interesting experience. I was in the Dominican Republic working on some projects, and I was watching this area that we were in. This area is one place of great need and poverty. And there's not a whole lot of jobs in this area, and just really people are on the edges of not having much. And yet I watched smiles on their life and how they shared with each other and how they shared with us as much as they could. And what I recognize is they were moving from a place of gratitude. Now, that doesn't mean everybody there, that this whole country was based in that. But what I recognize is because they weren't caught up in our mindset of I don't have enough, that is often a result of the messages that surround us over lack, that what they were able to do is see that they had enough. That they had enough, and part of what they had more than enough of was relationships. Which brings me to the place of recognizing that gratitude and appreciation often comes not from what we have, but how we move through the world, of how we are in relationship both to our own world and to others around us. That's the big place of change, is recognizing that these are really places where we are deciding to not look at what I don't have, but what I do have and the connections I have and the places that nurtures me. Now, one of the things I really want to point out that is that this gratitude and appreciation has nothing to do with giving up. It's not about settling, and it's certainly not about avoiding, because we all need something in our life, right? There's a need for the things around us. We need food to eat. We need safety and shelter, and we need relationships that nurture us. Those are all needs that we truly have. But what I've noticed is that often people are disappointed in not just need, but more about wants. And when we get into wants, what we realize is there's an endless supply of wants. We're surrounded by a world of abundance. And if we compare where we are now with where we were even 100 or 200 years ago, what you would recognize is that the general population, in fact, most people who would be listening to this podcast, are living well above the kings and the queens of that time with what they have, not of how they've been able to accumulate and take from other people, but in what we have, the capacity of us to have these great things, and yet we still feel like we are somehow lacking many times. And so part of what we do in this process is decide not to live within that, to not have our mindset pulled by that fear of, I'm not keeping up with the neighbors, or I'm not keeping up with the rest of the world, but recognizing that where I am is an okay place, that where I am is more than enough, that where I am is where I need to be, and the real place is appreciating that place. Now, it's also not about settling. I mean, people who live their lives of gratitude and appreciation tend to find that their life blossoms in front of them. So it's not settling with what is right now. It's recognizing that there's no connection between settling and being appreciative, that we can nurture those places of gratitude and appreciation regardless of where life is going. It's not about the accumulation or lack of accumulation. It's looking around and creating the mindset of looking for those places. This is one of those big things that you might notice. We live in a world of comparison. That's what advertising does. It has us compare ourselves to this ideal of the advertisers, that if we have this or that, it'll make us smell better, feel better, look better, have more, look more successful, somehow create an image we want from the world. We want to create this place of being beyond where we are. And those points of comparison often leave us stuck in that fear place. Comparisons often leave us feeling a lack, not an abundance. So now let me just confess to you that this is one of those pieces of the thriving puzzle that I know I can work further into, that I know this is one of my challenges, because as intentional as I am in trying to be grateful and appreciative, I know that many times it sneaks up behind me that, you know, I get worried that there's not enough. I get worried that I don't have enough, until I take two steps back and realize just how grateful I need to be for what I have in my life, as we all do, no matter where we are, no matter what's happening. I learned this lesson many years ago, and I keep relearning it. In fact, I can trace this back all the way to my childhood. I remember many times sitting at the kitchen table. My father was a minister, and we were solidly, kind of in that middle class arena. And there were struggles. We had financial times when it was tight, and I know my parents felt that pressure. But my father many times would say how grateful he was that there was enough, that we had been able to make it through. And they did such a good job of making it through that I never felt the lack. I always felt that there was an abundance. And part of the abundance was that we were having enough in our household to keep us comfortable. And more than that, we were in a household full of love. And that love is the place where we really find what it is to be grateful. So here's a central point to this gratitude piece. There are going to be times when you feel like you just can't get ahead. And in those moments where you just feel stuck, that's the time to really step back and begin to work on gratitude, because I've discovered that gratitude really is one of the core pieces of the whole thriving picture that you have such control over. You can choose to use the gratitude mindset, or you can allow the scarcity mindset to come and grab you. But you can choose the gratitude mindset. Years ago, when I was a chaplain, I had many conversations with people who were on the edge of their, at the very end of their life. And for a while, I was on the oncology floor. And on that oncology floor, there were people who were watching as their life was slowly going away. And I remember how many conversations I had with people who said, I'm so grateful that I'm now awake. I'm so grateful to realize what I have. I've lived my life in a scarcity mindset. I lived my life believing there wasn't enough. And now when I'm facing this huge illness, I discover that all along there was enough, that all along there were things to be grateful for, and now I'm so fortunate to focus on that. Now, to the person, nobody ever told me that they are glad that they got sick, but many people over the time of their illness were able to look and see that the illness woke them up. That was what happened with me. When I was ill, I became aware of the fact that I had been kind of letting life fly by. Now, there are still many moments today when I am not able to step into that gratitude mindset, but I know how to get there. And part of the Thriver's task is to build those neuronal pathways so that as we're focusing on that gratitude, we know we're teaching our brain to go in that direction. We're teaching our brain to stay away from the scarcity. This is when our mind can begin to take over the automatic and go to something else. So why be grateful? Well, there is a lot of research to show that it just does us good. Some would argue this from a philosophical side, but let's go with the practical side. Gratitude has been shown to increase happiness. When we work on those frames of gratitude, we boost the dopamine load in our brain. We switch away from that fear piece, that deeply held fear piece, and we go to another part of our brain. We activate that place, and we find greater happiness and life satisfaction, and we end up with this greater sense of optimism, of joy, of pleasure, of enthusiasm. Also, we've discovered that gratitude, when people take that on as a conscious practice of figuring out how to really focus on becoming grateful and appreciative, actually have a reduction in their level of anxiety and depression. More than that, gratitude has been shown to boost your immune system, lower your blood pressure, reduce symptoms of illnesses, and basically make life better, makes us feel better. People who are grateful tend to sleep better because instead of that fear grabbing you, you're able to move to a different level. Gratitude is one of the skills of resilience. The more we're able to, in the midst of difficulties of life, look back and be grateful, the more resilient we become because of that. And also think about what happens when you show appreciation. Appreciation is when you share your gratitude. When you show appreciation for something, you are ending up letting somebody else have a shared relationship with you. Think about all the relationships in our lives that are based in, I didn't get what I want something else, and how few times those relationships are based on, I am so thankful for what you did. I'm so grateful for what you brought into my life. When we work on that level of gratitude within ourselves and appreciation outside of ourselves, we strengthen the relationships with others around us because they feel our appreciation. Instead of the need from us, they feel our appreciation. Many times I've worked with couples who are on the verge of divorce, and one of the practices I ask for both of them to try is a level of gratitude, not for the other person, although that can be included, but just a level of gratitude for life. And so they work through their practice of gratitude. And many times as they work through that, they begin to have a new lens of viewing their spouse, of viewing the family, of viewing the events that are going on around them, because they're no longer working from a scarcity of what they're not getting out of their relationship and beginning to be aware of what is in the relationship, what is available to them. Now, we've already talked about a couple of things that thrivers know, and this is where it begins to show up. When we are able to accept where we are right now, then we can become grateful for what's around us. And we begin to be aware of the thoughts that are running through our head, and we begin to choose which thoughts we want to follow, which thoughts we want to work on. And as we do that, we learn more and more how to show up with that place of gratitude rather than trying to get. We're at a place of understanding that what we have is powerful. More than that, when we work from a place of gratitude, it's much easier to forgive, because sometimes we can look at even the difficult points, even those places of pain, and find that there is something there, and then you can let go of the pain of that event. Some years ago, I had a very tough work environment. I was working for a practice where a lot of the promises made to me fell through, and I was very frustrated with it and very angry, and I found myself constantly being bitter with the owner of this office. And yet, when I looked back over time, I could see where even that stop in my path had taken me to another place. Because of my uncomfortableness where I was then, I began to look for other opportunities, and that opportunity led to other opportunities. And as I look back to where I am now, doing things that I love, it is partly because I was in that difficult situation. So I have to be grateful for that situation and begin to let go of the pain of that in order to hold on to where I am now, to be thankful for where I am now. That doesn't mean I would choose to be in a difficult position again, as much as the capacity is always there for us to see the goodness of what's happening, even in the tough times. Sometimes it happens after the fact, but when we work from that place of gratitude, we begin to allow ourselves to let go of the pains because there's something in there to help us move forward. Also, gratitude puts us in a place of wanting to give back. When we're grateful, we want to add back to the world, to recognize our role in being a part of a greater world. And so gratitude moves us to a new place where we can be connected with others in very different ways. And the fact is that gratitude is very easy to nurture. It's one of those thriving skills that's very easy to start with. What I suggest people do is simply keep a gratitude journal. And a gratitude journal, the easiest way to do it is to write three things each day for which you are grateful. That's it, just three things for which you're grateful. They don't have to be complicated, and they don't have to be profound. They just have to be places where you can look and say, I am so grateful for that. You can start with the easy pieces. I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for a spouse. I'm grateful for my health. But then what I would suggest you do is not repeat yourself. So the easiest way to do this is to either write it down in the morning or in the evening, after you've had a chance to end your day or at the beginning of a day, to just write down three things for which you're grateful. And then if you write them down in the evening and you look at your day and you say, these are the three things for which I'm grateful today, then you can begin to look for that during the day. And in the morning, you look over that list, notice the things for which you're grateful, and it creates a new place in your brain. Or you could start in the morning and think of three things for which you're grateful at that moment, and in the evening, look at that list again and reflect on it. Notice what this begins to do. It changes your focus. We spend much of our time walking around with what we don't have, what we can't do, what's not in our lives. But if we keep a gratitude journal, we are consciously choosing a different view. We're looking for the things for which we're grateful. And I would take it one step further. Each day, show your appreciation to somebody or something. Find a way of reflecting that, taking the gratitude within you and letting somebody else know about it. Write a letter, make a phone call, put a posting on Facebook, tweet to somebody, email somebody, text somebody. Let somebody know how much you appreciated something that they brought into your life. You can leave a note for staff when you've really appreciated their service, but find some way each day, just one time a day, to show your appreciation. So that's the assignment, a very simple assignment. Three things for which you are grateful each day, either in the morning or the evening. And if you do it in the morning, to reflect on those three things, to look back on that journal and notice what it feels like when you shift back into that place of gratitude, when you reflect on it, when you take it in and feel it. If you do it in the evenings, the next morning you get up and you start your day looking at that. And you need to decide where you're more active. If you're a morning person, that's the great time to do it in the morning. If you're an evening person, do it in the evening. But at the other end of the day, you have a place of stepping back into that mindset. And then once per day, find somebody to show appreciation to. Could be an organization, could be some program somewhere. It could be writing to somebody's supervisor about how much you appreciated what they did. But let somebody know, and let them know how deeply it touched you, because they don't know unless they hear it. And that strengthens the bond we all have to each other. It creates a new way of understanding. Make sure you do it with the loved ones around you. Make sure you let the loved ones, your parents, if they're still alive. If not, you can write a letter and let them know how much you appreciated that, just so you get a chance to put that out there. You can do it to your children. You can do it your spouse, your grandchildren, anyone around you, those who you love. Find somebody each day to show your appreciation. With those two pieces, the gratitude and appreciation, what we know is that if you do it for 30 days, there is a long-term effect to it. It actually creates new neuronal pathways in your brain that reset how your brain operates. You begin to work from that place more and more consistently, and less do you fall into that scarcity trap. Of all the skills of thriving, this is a very simple one to bring in. It's one simple step, writing down that for which you're grateful. And one other added step of showing your appreciation each day and then reflecting on that, bringing that into your life and filling it, feeling how it is to be at that point of appreciation. Don't let your brain go to automatic. Remember, there are only two modes. If you leave it to automatic, it will go to fear and scarcity. But if you decide to step up, you begin to thrive more as you step into gratitude and appreciation. If this has been helpful for you, I hope you'll share it. I hope you'll let other people know. There are lots of social media ways you can share it if you're on the website. That would be a great way of letting people know that you found something helpful and sending them to Thriveology.com. If you are either a tweeter or you're not on the website and you want to add a tweet to it, it's easy to let people know about this. Show us a little Twitter love. All you have to type in is Thriveology.com/love, Thriveology.com/love. That's a way of showing us some appreciation for the fact that you're here listening, and perhaps it's helped you to move a little bit further ahead in your thriving life. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life. Time to live it.